This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. For over 50 years, the name Joe McCarthy and the term witch hunt have been linked in our history books. Senator McCarthy's efforts in the 1940s and 50s to expose communist infiltration of the U.S. government has certainly been something that many people over the past half century have condemned. His work triggered a nationwide sensation that eventually worked against him following the famous Army McCarthy hearings. He was eventually censured by his Senate colleagues and died a short time later. But is history right, or do the facts actually vindicate McCarthy? After 6 years of exhaustive research, veteran reporter, editor, and author M. Stanton Evans concludes the latter is very much the case. The new book is entitled Blacklisted by History, The Untold Story of Senator Joe McCarthy and His Fight Against America's Enemies. And Stan, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg. Great to be with you.
Well, the concern over communists within our government predated World War II, but really took on significance, of course, once the Cold War set in following the war. One of the things you discuss in the book that's very interesting is how Harry Truman, who history grants strong Cold Warrior credentials for the Berlin Airlift, Marshall Plan, aid to Greece and Turkey, among other things, wanted little or nothing to do with exposing communists within his own administration. He even defended Alger Hiss after Hiss was sentenced to prison. What was it about our leadership at the time that did not want to believe that this was a real threat?
Well, it's a very good question. I'm not sure I know the answer, but you certainly summarized it well. There's no question that Harry Truman was a visceral anti-communist, and I say that in the book, but he had a blind side to him about communists within his own government. He just didn't believe it. He wouldn't believe it. He had people around him who were very bad influences who told him it wasn't true. It was also a partisan issue, and the Republicans were hammering him on this, and they were being partisan. But he was a feisty partisan himself, and to admit all this would be to help the Republicans, and would have been very damaging to his party. So it was some mix of all those motives that caused him to have this blind side toward people like Alger Hiss and the problem in general.
And, of course, Joe McCarthy came to the forefront probably most especially because of a speech he gave in Wheeling, West Virginia, in which he, of course, said that he had a list of communists in his hand that were already working in the United States government. What did that do in terms of setting up the opposition to Joe McCarthy? You point out in the book that the speech itself has actually been incorrectly chronicled by history.
Correct. Well, first of all, your sequencing of these questions is very, very good because there's a direct linkage between what we were talking about in the case of Truman and then the McCarthy thing. Under Truman, it had all been kind of bottled up, and Congress, there was a secrecy order that prevented Congress from getting the files on these cases from the State Department, from the FBI. And the Congress knew there was a problem, but it was all kind of under the rug or shoved in the closet. And there was a lot of discontent in Congress about this. And when Joe McCarthy came along 2 years later after the Hiss case, he touched off an explosion that had been years in the making, not only because of the infiltration, which was a very serious problem, but because it had been denied and covered up. And so that's what caused this enormous eruption of fury back in 1950, because stuff that had been going on for years had been denied, and now he was saying the denial was false. What happened in the speech at Wheeling, I devote a chapter to that, as I can tell you know because of the way you asked your question. And it was a question of the number he used. Did he say 205 communists or did he say 57? His critics say he said 205, and they contended this over and over again. It's in all the history books. This became the subject of an investigation in the Senate in 1951. They sent investigators up to Wheeling to find out what the facts were. I mean, they're devoting all their time to this issue of this number. The investigators come back and tell their Senate bosses, well, basically, McCarthy is right. He didn't say 205. He said 57. That report then disappeared and was never mentioned again because it didn't prove what they wanted to prove, which was that Joe McCarthy had perjured himself. So that's in a nutshell what happened in that particular episode up at Wheeling, West Virginia.
And then, of course, Stan, throughout the book, as I mentioned, 6 years of research on your part, you go painstakingly case by case and contrast what the facts were with what conventional wisdom tells us about these things. I want to go back to a point you just made, though, about the damage being done by communists in the government due largely to the fact that many wanted to turn a blind eye. Just go over a couple of those things that happened as a result of those not wanting to believe that communists were, in fact, within the government ranks.
Well, let me give you just one. It's probably it was probably McCarthy's number one case, really. It was a case of a man named John Stewart Service, who was an American diplomat living in Chongqing, China. He was a big China expert back in the 1940s. He was living in a house in Chongqing, China, with not one but two Soviet agents, as we now know from the information we have. One of them was a Treasury Department attaché in China named Solomon Adler. The other was an ethnic Chinese named Chi Chao-ting. Both of these people were Soviet agents. Both of them, one of them, Chi Chao-ting, was infiltrating the government, the then anti-communist government of Chiang Kai-shek in China. When China fell to the communists, both Adler and Chi Chao-ting went to live in Beijing and lived out their lives as employees of the Red Chinese government. That's how obvious agents they were. John Stewart Service is living with these guys. He and Adler combine in sending back communiques to the American government saying that Chiang Kai-shek, the anti-communist, is evil, corrupt, he's not really fighting the Japanese, and that the Chinese communists are heroes, and that what we should do is cut off aid to Chiang Kai-shek and embrace in a coalition government the communists of China. And this, in fact, became official U.S. policy. Aid to Chiang Kai-shek was cut off, both economic and military aid. The communists took over China, and they're ruling there to this day as a result of those events over 50 years ago. That's just one example among many, and that was McCarthy's number one case.
When we come back, the Army-McCarthy hearings. More with Stan Evans right after the break.